Welcome to the High on Life podcast, where it's all about empowering you with the medicine and the mindset to healthfully lose weight and thrive beyond the scale. I'm your host, Dr. Sasha High. This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss and beyond. Remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. So be sure to seek medical support from a qualified health professional. Welcome, my friends. You are listening to the High on Life podcast. I am Dr. Sasha High, and today we are talking about how parents can support healthy weight habits in children of all ages. This can be really challenging, and I know as parents, we would never want to cause any body image concerns for our kids. We want to love and support them exactly as they are. And yet, with childhood obesity on the rise, we also want to ensure that we are doing what we can to support their health and development. I get asked about this a lot. I get asked whether I treat kids in my clinic, which I do not. And I am by far an expert in this area. And that's why I have brought on a special guest today who is an expert. Dr. Wendy Schaufer is a pediatrician and founder of Family in Focus. She helps parents who know that diets are not the answer, but they're tired of the constant stress about their family's weight, exercise, and eating habits. Wendy teaches families tools to create better relationships with food, body, and each other. By harnessing the power of play and neuroscience and emotions to address stress and habits, Wendy helps whole families create healthier lives from the inside out. So Wendy, thank you for joining me on the show.
It is so great to be here with you. I love anytime we get to connect. So this is fabulous.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. Well, maybe we can just start by you sharing a little bit about your clinical background, your work as a pediatrician, and then how that led you to this point.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I never know exactly where to like pick up the thread. Isn't this always interesting? It's like, which part of the story is going to come to light here in this conversation? But for background, you know, I'm a pediatrician, and I think that really where this all comes together is that a number of years ago, I was noticing that we were having more and more discussions around weight and growth in the office. And, you know, I said, you know what, I know what to do here. Like, we're going to look at the child's growth curve as they're coming in and just kind of see like, what are their kind of questions I want to ask about their nutrition, about their movement, and just kind of get a big picture. And then I would make a plan with the family, like, okay, well, let's talk about portion sizes. Let's talk about, you know, how to move, how much to move. And we would make up a plan. And then I would have them come back in 3 to 6 months. And the parents would inevitably come back and say, that didn't work for us. Totally didn't work. We're just banging heads. My kid doesn't want to go out and move. Heck, I don't want to go out and exercise. I hate exercise. And now I'm trying to make my kid do it. We're fighting about it. We're having food fights. I'm finding wrappers under the bed. And I was meanwhile kind of like, oh my gosh, me too. Like, I'm having the same concerns in my own house. And thinking about, well, there's something missing here. Like, I've got great education. I've got great background from, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics and what the recommendations are, but there's a disconnect here. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was working in the community as part of a community-based organization that was saying, hey, you need to go out and find the evidence base for pediatric diabetes prevention programs. And I was, as I was doing the research, I was like, you know, these programs exist, but people don't stick with it. The attrition rates are really high. Like, what is it that's happening here? And so I was kind of looking at this kind of big picture. Yeah. What's the disconnect? And at the same time that I was doing all this research and kind of banging my head on the wall, was when I discovered what I call the language of coaching. Quite honestly, let's just say I discovered Sunny Smith. So I just heard her on a podcast and she was describing coaching. And I was just like furiously writing down all these terms, all these concepts that I had not been introduced to before. And basically it was psychology. It's looking at what's working, what's going well, positive
Mm-hmm.
psychology, building upon this foundation. And instead of always looking at what's wrong, what needs to be fixed, well, what is it that we want to shine a light upon and really amplify? I was like, where has this been all my life?
Yeah.
I realized I had never had a single course in psychology in my entire career. And as a
Yeah.
pediatrician, of course, I studied psychiatry, psychopharmacology, developmental pediatrics, but it was all through the lens of what's wrong? What do we need to intervene? Not, why is it that we need to intervene? Not what is it that is going well? What is it that's working? Those types of processes. And it just opened up a completely different type of conversation. And the conversation really shifted to let's start looking at the relationships that, we have with our food, with our body, with each other. And that's really where Family in Focus was kind of born from, that shifting of the conversation to the relationships.
So interesting, because I think that is a big gap when it comes to traditional, like what I'll call Western medicine, and how, as physicians, we're so used to, I identify the problem, I will offer you a prescription, here's what you do, right? Like, it's a very prescriptive relationship we have with the patient. But that doesn't work when you're working on behavior change, working on your overall life, right? Because you can tell someone what they need to do, but they are the one who needs to believe in it, adopt it, find fun ways of implementing, right? Like, there has to be that knowledge translation. And I have had a very similar experience to you, where it was like, before I discovered coaching, what I had was a lot of knowledge about what should work, right? If you follow my recommendations perfectly, this should work for you, right? But we're human and we have real life, and so much stuff gets in the way, and we get stressed, and then we quote unquote fall off the wagon, and then we think we're terrible people for falling off the wagon, so then we fall off the wagon more, right? Like, and we self-sabotage. All of those things are like the missing pieces. And I love how you have changed the focus to the relationships. And I think as we're continuing this conversation about childhood obesity or managing a healthy weight in children, I think that's so key, right? Like, no parent wants to try to shove health down their child's throat and lose the relationship with their kid, right? So I think that's like such a paradigm shift and so helpful. So what did that look like? So you discovered like this needed to be about relationships when you discovered coaching. Tell us more about what that looks like for someone who's like, I still don't know what you're talking about. When you say coaching, what are you talking about? What does that mean?
Yeah. So there's so many different levels. So when I talk about coaching, I really think about it as a language that is shifting to that part about, well, what is it that's working? So like you were saying, like coming in and saying, well, this is a problem and I can tell you how to fix it.
Right.
I can tell you how to change. Well, the shifting here is that I've started looking at, well, the things that we do right now are actually working for us in one way or another. Whatever our habit is right now, there's a reason why we have it. I absolutely hate it whenever somebody looks at me and says, you got to fix that. I know how to fix that. And I'm like, I don't think it's a problem. It's not a problem for me. There's a reason why it's working right now. My husband is so much, here you go, I'm going to compare, but so much more efficient than I am. He's one of these brilliant, like inbox zero type of people. He's like, this is what you need to do. And I'm like, you know what? That's actually not working for me. I have my own system, I have my own habits, and he can identify what's different and what can be changed, but that doesn't mean that I want to do it. It's the same thing with our eating habits. It's the same thing with our movement habits, with all of our, kind of lifestyle choices. There's a reason why it's something that works for us right now. And I've started shifting in that coaching conversation to looking at, well, what is it that's working? How is this working right now? And really having a conversation around not so much as far as like looking at this as a problem, but this is what exists right now. And what is it that you do want? Without me coming in and saying, oh, I diagnose this. I see that there's a problem here. I see that there's a fix. No, it may be very different as we go through a conversation as far as what the individual actually sees as an opportunity, or if they're like, yeah, no, I'm not ready for this right now. That's not my interest.
In light of that, how do you identify that there is a problem? Like, how would someone come to you as a pediatrician or as a family coach? At what point do we decide that a child with excess adiposity has something that warrants a second look or some attention to improve health? Because I think about, we go from celebrating really, really chubby babies and, saying how cute they are and like that's healthy, they're eating well. And then at some point there's a shift and now we're concerned about excess weight. How does a parent tease that out and identify that?
I think that that is a million-dollar question because that's part of what all this stress is that parents are dealing with right now. Like they're being told to have the chubby baby, to feed them well, get all the roles because there's so much more to love. And all of a sudden, give or take around 2 years old, is when they start hearing, oh, you're feeding them too much. You gotta shift what you're doing here. We should keep an eye on their weight. So it's as early as 2 years old that I'm commonly seeing this. There's just so many messages that parents are receiving from so many different places in their family, and the community, in the medical office, that it gets really confusing, really overwhelming. And so going to like my approach in the office. So when families are coming in for well visits, I will just open it up and just ask them, what questions do you have? What concerns do you have about weight, about growth, about feeding your child? Anything, no matter where kids are on the growth curve, I just start kind of. In a way, it's kind of like fishing. It's just fishing for what are your concerns that you have without me identifying or diagnosing as far as there's an issue here or a problem here. Because more than anything else, I'm just trying to get curious about where the family is right now. They're hearing all these weight-based messages everywhere they go. I'm gonna just kind of be open. And I think that's more than anything else. I just want to be a place for them to be able to ask their questions, to raise their concerns, for them to identify it without hearing it from me.
So would you say your approach is less about, it sounds like you're less about diagnosing childhood obesity in a patient, and more about just hearing where the family's at altogether and deciding how you can best support them as a family unit in creating their health, their best health, regardless of what that might look like.
I think that's fair. I mean, it's something that I don't shy away from conversations about weight, about conversations about obesity. No, I don't. But it's also something where I am really welcoming the family and the patients as they're getting older to let me know what it is that they want to focus on right now. So, as I was describing a bit earlier, in, before we hit record, that with my primary care, a lot of times I do pinch hitting. So I will go and fill in for primary care doctors where I am just meeting patients for the first time. So primary care setting, but I just don't know them. And what I'm trying to do is to be able to come in as a person who is hearing what are their concerns, trying to build a relationship with them. And I think that that's more than anything else. what families are hungry for right now. They're hungry for that building a relationship that we can continue to communicate about growth, nutrition, about, habits without hearing right away, this is a problem, this needs to be fixed, because I would just be one more voice in all of the voices that they're hearing in the community. And it's something that I keep on receiving feedback about how that's not helpful. They're looking to find a place to express their concerns without hearing that it's always a problem.
And so what kind of concerns would you hear? Are parents saying, I'm concerned about my child's weight, or is it more like I'm concerned about how my child's eating, or they're not moving enough? Like what kind of comes up for you?
Oh, yeah, all of the above. So it may be, I have concerns about my child's weight. I have concerns that other people are talking about my child's weight and I'm not having a concern about it. A lot of concerns about sleep, about how my child is sleeping, they're not sleeping enough, a lot of electronics use. And then also concerns about getting my child to go outside. I want to see them more active. I want to see something different in the routine that we have at home, and then we kind of start going from there with the discussion. The other thing that I hear quite a bit, so as I open up that question, like, what are your questions, your concerns about growth, nutrition? One really stands out, and I've had it a couple of different times where I've asked that question of teens that are coming in for their physicals. And I had one particular girl who looked at me and said, I'll lose weight when I want to lose weight. And I looked at her and I said, who says you need to lose weight? And she kind of looked at me like that was the first time that anyone had ever even suggested that it wasn't actually about losing weight. Kids are hearing these messages all the time that something that, there's something wrong with them, that they need to change. And a big part of my approach is in seeing them for who they are, not as seeing them or their weight as a problem, which is a big shift because, we can look at the, health implications of excess adiposity. Absolutely, we can do that. And I think that part of the engagement here is with seeing the person and connecting with them about what it is that they want to do without it always being this message of there's something wrong or you need to change. Because that's where I just feel like the more that we continue on that messaging, as far as there's something wrong here, it needs to change, you need to change, that's just the breeding grounds for shame. And shame is not creating healthy habits. Shame leads us to withdraw, to contract, to, find ways of self-soothing that tend to not be in the habits that we are looking to adapt, to adopt. So I'm very mindful of being open to my patients, to my clients, to their experience, and welcoming them without being something that I'm labeling. And I know that's a very different conversation. It's a very different approach. It's really looking at the psychosocial, roots for our habits, for our lifestyle choices, and it's really connecting with the emotions. And so that's where I'm just really mindful of where is this that I could be creating a shame-based conversation or a shame-based environment? And that is driving the conversations more than anything else.
I think that you hit the nail on the head right there because, I'm just thinking about my background. I'm trained as an internist, right? And so as internists, like we're looking for the problem so we can fix it and we, and I think that a lot of clinicians, I would say most, are very well intended. Right? We're not out there wanting to shame our patients. Never. That's not like our intention. But I think that inadvertently, that happens frequently when we are more focused on the blood work or needing, my job is to see this blood work, tell you there's a problem, and tell you how you need to fix this problem because, I've identified, I've diagnosed your high cholesterol or whatever that is, right? We want to fix that, and we miss the person and their experience in front of us. And just as you said, shame never promotes us living our best and showing up as our best. And so it has that really backwards effect that not what we're wanting to create, but I can see how that happens very regularly. So then my follow-up question for you is, how can parents, like, how do you advise parents who maybe out of love for their child do have concerns about certain behaviors, or it may be about, objective health issues that may relate to adiposity? How do they have that conversation without creating shame, without creating, low self-esteem, confidence, body image? Like I think it's such a delicate conversation. So how would you guide a parent or a healthcare provider who might be listening to this conversation?
There are several different ways to approach that question. I think more than anything else, it's something where it starts off with understanding what their concerns are first. And so, in the office, I welcome kind of putting things out on the table. What are the concerns that you have today? And depending on what is coming to light, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll actually ask to speak with the parent individually, just to be able to understand a little bit more about where they are coming from. And it's funny where, we're taught in pediatrics about, having that alone time with the teenager and being able to do the more psychosocial, and the sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of conversation. But I think that there's so much more of an opportunity to also just meet with parents to be able to have an adult-to-adult conversation about what are your concerns? Where are they coming from? And more often than not, what comes up is it's something from their own experience that they're afraid of not doing right by their kids. They're afraid of, having a maybe a journey that's very similar. They don't want their kid to go along the same kind of weight journey that they've been on. Maybe they've had a history of restriction or repeated diets or things like that that are coming up, that we just kind of open up a little bit more about where your concern's coming from. Because I found more often than not, it's not the child's weight that's the problem. It's not the child's eating habits that are the problem. It's actually looking more at what does that mean to the parent? What are they afraid of? What is it that this is bringing up for them? Associations about maybe some health problems that are in the family. They're really worried about that. And we kind of examine a little bit more about that. That's part of that coaching conversation of understanding more about what are the worries, the concerns that we're bringing in, because that's what really gets in the way of our relationships that we have with our kids when we're always like worried about these other things in the background, long-term health problems, the concerns about, my own kind of journey with diets or, using a lot of exercise in the past. These types of things kind of come into our relationships right now. And so I welcome having those kind of conversations and just to be able to understand more about what the parents are kind of carrying with them. What are the stressors that they're bringing with them? Because it's not, I got to tell you, it is, I want to say it very strongly, it's never just about the child's weight. It's never just about how the child is eating. It's everything else about what that means to the parent.
So I'm trying to understand because there is the reality of risk factors in medicine. And so how what's the balance is what I'm trying to get at. What's the balance of, yes, we just, we want to address that some of it is just fears based on personal experience, but right, I might say, like, that's legitimate, right? Like, if a parent has struggled with their weight, maybe they were body shamed, maybe they were made fun of, they were bullied at school, and they don't want that for their child. They don't want their child to have that experience. I recognize, like, the fear as an emotion probably isn't helping the situation, but then there's also the react there's certain realities about the situation. So what's that balance of, like, addressing the fears and the emotions and addressing the realities of certain health markers or health risk factors?
I think more than talking about the markers and the risk factors, what I start doing is talking about, just kind of asking them, what is it that they want to see? What is it they want to see more of? What is it that, they see as an opportunity to be able to do something different based off of maybe their own experiences? What is it that they needed more of when they were a child? What is it that they want to see in their relationship with their child right now? And it can be something so easy, but this is where, like, the different ideas come up from the family, as opposed to me interjecting, well, this is what you need to do. And, it's something where, I've had parents that have said anything from, I just want my child to be seen, not for their weight. And it's just fascinating because, that's something that, that was their experience. That was the parents' experience that they were, kind of feeling like they were defined by their weight growing up. And they don't want that for their child. If I had approached that strictly from a perspective of this is what you need to do, this is how you need to move and eat, I would have overlooked that part about what is really important to them, what they actually want to see. Changing and being different is the way that their child is being seen in the world. That is so important. That is something that the parents are right there. I talk about how parents are the immediate environment for kids. We have a very challenging, environment for raising kids right now. But a parent who understands that my child just wants to be seen for who they are, I want to be able to give them that gift. That is so very powerful, especially in light of all of the other messages that are going around in our community, defining who you are by your weight, by your size. That is what's really changing that. And I think that it's something that, also comes up in that conversation about, okay, well, and what else? What else is it that you want to, bring more of into your family? And so that's where, we'll have little experiments. We're always talking about little experiments. What do you want to experiment with? Okay, well, I want to experiment with, serving more vegetables or experiment with switching over to more water instead of the sugar-based drinks. I want to look at more sleep. And that's actually where it comes out. It's actually very much driven from the family. They know about, all this different health guidance as far as, portions and, sugar content and sleeping and moving. But it's something where the conversation is switching to them saying, this is something that I can experiment with right now. That is so powerful because when I was just a couple of years ago, kind of writing it all out, and they're like, yeah, that doesn't fit our family. That doesn't work because it wasn't their plan. It wasn't their idea. They didn't see it as a possibility for them. Having these types of conversations, which are focusing more on what's important for the family, for the parent, for the child, really makes it something where they're kind of taking that ownership. They're holding on to that ownership of what is important and realistic and possible for them to create change in their life if and when they're ready for it. Everything else that I do is kind of like pushing. It's kind of saying, you need to change this. And I could tell you, even in my own home, like that doesn't work. I created more friction by coming in and saying, Well, I'm the expert in medicine, in pediatrics, in growth. Created so much friction with that within my own family. And it was letting go of that expertise to be able to say, okay, I'm here. And, I'm here as a parent. I have my medical, background, all of this. I have all of this information. And yet I'm going to connect on that personal level. I want to receive more than what I'm telling. That's been a big shift in the relationships at home, as well as the relationships in the medical office.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's such a powerful approach. And even, I was preparing for this and I was like, I'm going to ask Wendy, like, give us, what are your top five tips for screen time and sugar sweetened beverage? And it's like, no, actually, that's not the conversation we're having today. Because that's the part that people already know, right? Like, I think we could sit here and we could have a conversation about sugar sweetened beverages and how, when we drink too much pop and juice, like it's not healthy for us. And it we would just be re and people sometimes they gravitate towards those recommendations, I find, like even on social media, and yet it's what they already know. So I think it's the harder conversation that we're having and you're sharing with us, which is like, how do you start creating change in a way that makes sense for your family and your situation and you as an individual? So how would you advise? I mean, it'd be amazing if everyone could work with you, but not everyone can. So what should a parent do if, they don't have access to someone like you? They're having to just face their pediatrician or just deal with it within their own home. How can they start?
I think even just recognizing that there's a different conversation that can be had is a huge step right now. Like just even listening, I'm so glad you're here listening, like
Yeah.
to all of your listeners, because this is something that I think we've been missing. And just even starting this up that we can say, oh, okay, this is something that resonates with me. This is what I need more of. And then we can start finding that in our lives. Our physicians, like, us as physicians, our colleagues, we're looking for a different way too. I mean, I got to tell you, just like turning back the time 10 years ago, I was like, there is something missing here. I just felt like I wasn't really able to help my patients in a way that was meaningful for them and meaningful for me. And I think that we're really at, what would you call it, like an inflection point about having a different approach to health, to weight, to habits, to motivation, to the conversations in the medical office. We are changing this right now. And it's, right here. Having these types of conversations. We're tired of hearing what we need to do. It's one of those things that I think that I joke around all the time about how it's not about more education that we need. We know we do now. We do need some repetition. I will admit that. Like sometimes things don't kind of sink in until you hear it multiple times. But I think more than anything, it's applying it to our own lives. We can hear these things about how, concerns about sugar sweetened beverages. But when you're really stressed and you find that that is what helps you feel better, okay, there is a disconnect. I can know something that, this is not healthy for me, but this is where I'm feeling better with drinking this. That's what I'm calling kind of the application, the disconnect between the education and real life right now. And I think that that's really the place for us to look and say, okay, well, it's not about learning more. It's not about education. It's about applying it to our real lives. What are we really experiencing? And so, actually, getting back to answering your question, I think that it's more of having these types of conversations of this is what's important to me. This is something that I'm not ready for that right now. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say that out loud. Like, you know what? That just doesn't fit my life right now. I think we need to be able to have that type of conversation because that is something that really changed for me in the office too, hearing that from families that are like, you know what, I hear you saying that, but that doesn't fit right now. Okay, I needed to hear that as a physician because that was part of me learning that there was something else I was missing. And that was understanding my patient, understanding that it wasn't about what I wanted. It wasn't about what I was drawing up. It wasn't about my plan for them. It's about helping them understand where they want to go. I mean, that's self-determination theory. That's, autonomy. It's like bringing in all of that about how we each have that power and control over our own bodies, our own lives. It's a little bit different from the way that we were trained in medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can understand how this would apply more to an older patient, like a teenager who has autonomy. What would you suggest for parents of maybe, school-aged children, if they had concerns? Is it more of an approach for, hey, we're going to create healthy habits for the whole family? How do you navigate that?
So I think that more than anything else, it's looking at what is it that you want to create in your family. So talking with the parents of school age kids, what do you want to see more of? And a lot of the conversations are coming in saying, well, I'm concerned about eating habits, I'm concerned about weight, I'm concerned about growth. Like, okay, if we focus on those things, that's where we kind of get into that diet mentality. We need to cut back, we need to restrict, and we tend to revolt against those things. You kind of say you need to cut something back. All you do is you focus on what it is that you used to do, and you're like, oh, I don't want to cut back on that. I love it so much. So we start looking at what is it that you want more of? What do you want to bring into your life? So talking about how, I want my child to be on electronics less. Oh, how often I hear that. Okay. Well, let's think about that. If they were on electronics less, okay, what would there be more of? And we started shifting to how can we create this approach of I want more of something. What is it like, not even just more of the actions, maybe it's I want them, out playing basketball, but what else is there? What is it that you would feel and see? What would the child be experiencing more of with those changes? And it's opening up a different type of conversation. Now, the other thing is with younger kids, okay? One thing that we haven't really talked about is some of the other emotions. Like a lot of times we bring in an emotional charge, like, we gotta change this. This has gotta happen. And what I recommend doing with families, especially with the younger ones, is looking at, well, how do we just want to approach this in our family? How do we want to approach electronic usage? How do we want to approach movement, meals, and just kind of having it as a house? Sometimes we'll call it house rules. Sometimes people push back against rules, but just what is your approach in your family? And this is just the way it's done for everybody. When we say, like, this is the way that we do it here, we practice that and look at how that is something that we can bring in. Like, this is just the way that we approach electronics in our house. So I use the example in our household, electronics get shut off at 8 o'clock. Like, that's it. That's just the way it is in our family. There's no emotional charge to it, there's no arguing it. There's no fussing with it because it's just our house rule. It's how we operate here. And so I talk with parents about how can they use more of those kind of house rules or house approaches. This is just the way we do it here to kind of diffuse some of the emotional charges that we have, especially when like kids don't necessarily agree with us. They can not agree. They want to have their electronics longer. But as parents, if we can approach it from this is the way it is, this is just the way that we approach it in our household, it's kind of diffusing with time, with practice, okay, diffusing that emotional experience, the kids can, I think about the kids who just have tantrums. Like, hey, that's just the way it is. Like, they are expressing their disappointment, their frustration, their sadness, whatever it is. And yet, for me as a parent, I can know, and there's nothing wrong. This is just the way that we're approaching this. And I think that's a big part of the steps, especially with younger kids. Oh my gosh, I saw a 2-year-old who's sitting in a stroller, has her pacifier in her mouth, and she is scrolling on the phone. She looked like a pro. This was not her first time doing it. She was just scrolling, and then her mom went and grabbed the phone because, we were on public transit and they were getting ready to get off. And then the child had a tantrum. And it was amazing how I was like, ah, she is 2 years old. She's letting us know exactly. She's feeling something right now. She's letting everybody know, disappointed, sad, whatever it is. And then after a few moments, she stopped fussing and she started acting like the 2-year-old that she was. So this little girl who was like scrolling like it was her job is all of a sudden happy, all these kind of things and flirting with everybody. It was like all of a sudden she got to be the toddler that she is. But she first had to go through that fussing, through that tantrum. And as parents, if we know that is part of it, of course she's going to fuss. Of course she doesn't want to do this, but this is the way it is. It's time for her to turn that off. We can have another discussion about 2-year-olds and electronics.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a whole like other conversation around understanding child's emotions and how they express them and not wanting to suppress those emotions, but that would be a bit tangential. The last thing, maybe this kind of reminded me, and actually I just want to highlight for our listeners because I wrote this down when you were talking. What is it you want more of and what do you want to bring into your life? And I think for me, like that's kind of the big takeaway, one of the biggest takeaways from this conversation is to look at what are we wanting to create, and then what are the steps that we as a family are going to take to create that for ourselves, right? Which is so different from like, don't drink sugar sweetened beverages, don't have this much screen time, you need to make sure they go outside every day, right? Like it really is, as you've said so many times, it's a different conversation. So what is it you want more of, and what do you want to bring into your life? I think was really powerful. Do you have any similar, so you kind of gave an example of like house rules that, or house guidelines that a family could bring in. I wonder around nutrition, because I was reading the AHA, they have a scientific statement on, it's called Caregiver Influences on Eating Behaviors in Young Children. I'll link it in the show notes. But I thought it was really interesting because one of the things that they talked about, even for younger kids, they were saying that the challenge for caregivers is to provide structure and boundaries without decreasing children's eating autonomy to the extent that they no longer self-regulate their eating, but instead look to external factors to cue eating. For me, that was like, oh, like that's the key right there, because that's what I see with adults is that they have given up their self-regulation when it comes to eating from many years of repeated dieting. We don't pay attention to whether we're hungry or not. We're looking at external cues for to dictate our feeding behavior. And so this scientific statement was really emphasizing that we have to facilitate a child's ability to self-regulate. Any thoughts about that, when it comes to kind of fostering healthy nutrition habits in younger kids?
Wow, I had not read that one before, but I completely agree with it. That is so powerfully worded. I think about that a lot when I see children, in the wild, out and about, and it's all about, okay, well, we've gotten to the doctor's office now. They start to fuss and it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna get out the snacks. Okay, it's time for a snack now. Or, when we get into the car, okay, now we can have our snacks, now we can have our electronics. Like, there's a lot of different things that it's kind of cued in. Like, when we have this happen, okay, there's a little bit of discomfort, and we're going to break out, the other things that are, quite honestly, help us as parents stay sane. I will acknowledge it. Let's just say that out loud, okay? to help create some calmness in our lives because we're tired, we're stressed. But I think that it's looking for that, like starting to look at the patterns. And so much of the conversation that I have is getting curious about what are the patterns that you're seeing. Well, let's look at the patterns of when are you eating? When are your kids eating over the course of the day? What do you notice about the emotions that are happening? What are you noticing around, you know, the types of foods that are being selected, the types of foods that are being offered? And it's just looking at those patterns. And again, not me coming in and saying, and you got to change this, but what is it that you see? I think that, kind of putting on the expert hat here and taking off the coaching hat for a minute, I really think that it's something that we are offering food so much, so readily. I mean, everywhere you go, you can grab food. My daughter is a student in Europe, and so I love going and visiting with her, and it is amazing to go through the stores and to not have all the candy and soda, all the things at the checkout line, at the hardware store, at the art store. When you go there, all you see at the checkout line is more hardware stuff, more art stuff, more fabric. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is totally different than Michael's and Home Depot and all the things back at home, because their environment is being created differently. It's not about the quick grab and go and, you know, kind of that satisfaction right here. How can we do that in our lives? I picture, you know, what my car looks like. What kind of grab and go types of things do I have for like soothing in my car, in my bag? I think those are the types of questions that we can ask and start looking at, well, what is the pattern of what it is that I'm teaching my children? And you mentioned about, you know, emotions. How is it that they can experience and express their emotions without it being a problem? That is a completely different conversation. It totally ties in here.
Yep.
And how can we also have our own emotions as parents, feeling tired, exhausted, frustrated, just needing some silence? And how do we want to approach meeting our children's needs right now?
Well, I think that's a great place to close. Wendy, thank you so much. I mean, I think this, truthfully, this conversation went in a direction I wasn't expecting, but this is the core of it. It's like the heart of what really needs to be addressed when we're looking at how do we support our children, how do we support our family to move towards, you know, the healthiest lifestyle that we can all create, right? And it's not about having more knowledge, as we've said. It's really about dropping the shame-based approaches, the prescriptive approaches, and looking at, for me, for our family, for our time management and what we have capacity for, what is it that we want more of, and what do we want to bring into our life? So I think that those two powerful questions are something that our listeners can really start asking themselves and taking action on. So thank you so much for this. Where can we find you if we have listeners who want to check out your work or connect with you?
Absolutely. So a number of things, and I trust that you're going to put my last name in the show notes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
But you can come on over and check out my Family in Focus program at wendyschoffermd.com. I also have my own podcast, Family in Focus with Dr. Wendy Schoffer, MD. By the way, I am not very creative, so it's all the same. But I also have, I actually have a free mini course that's called Weight Loss 101 for your whole family, which if you're like, hold on a minute, she's talking about weight loss. I know. So I kept on hearing parents asking me, where's Weight Loss 101? Where do I start? I'm like, I don't believe your kids should be focusing on weight loss. But I kept on hearing the question. So I said, I gotcha. I'm going to create the course that's taking the most commonly asked questions that parents have about weight, about feeding their kids, about movement, all of this. And I'm going to answer them with the answers that really work to be able to build those relationships, to be able to help our children without focusing on the scale to define success. And then, of course, I also have my group program, also called Family Focus, which has opens over the course of the year. And so you can check out the website to see what's going on right now.
Amazing. And I love that you make that Weight Loss 101 course totally free. So I'm going to link all of that in our show notes so that our listeners can find you. Wendy, thank you so much. This has been a really powerful conversation. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
So great. Thanks for joining me today. If you enjoyed listening to the High on Life podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, share, and review it on Apple Podcasts.